welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
It's my birthday week. I know that when those of you who are actually friends of mine and listening, you can remember times when it seemed like it was a birthday month. And I remember one time a friend jumping on her at like 2 a.m. as soon as my birthday day was here, waking her up, a roommate, and when I lived in San Francisco, it's my birthday, like straddling her and waking her up out of her sleep. She loved me. Hi, Becky. So today is an amazing show that we have coming up. Why? Because I don't know if you've noticed, I'm starting to take the show in a new direction. We've had less guests on, and it's been more of me just waiting and feeling out the energy and seeing what's been going on in the collective this week as I interact with my clients and as I interact with other healers in the different communities I'm a member of throughout the world and people working with consciousness. And there's something really, really up this week that I want to help you guys understand and wrap your beings around, and so your minds can be calmed and quieted. And it seems like that we forgot about the December 21st alignment. Yeah, so I started this show because of the December 21st alignment on in December of 2012, the galactic alignment. And it's ushering in, and my whole book is about this new era we're moving into, the paradigm shift, and I call it a meta paradigm shift because it's just that big, meta. Huge, right? The Greek prefix meta. And it's a shift that's not just about like how our society functions at the governmental level, the processes, the laws, the rules, the structures, but our consciousness, the way that we are in our bodies on the planet, and then how we interact with ourselves and each other, and then all of these structures. And all of that's changing. We moved into the era of feminine consciousness. And so that tends to be from the archetypal. We're not talking about women and men as much as, because I've seen men embody the feminine consciousness archetype more than I've seen some women who are more aligned with the masculine consciousness archetypally. So I've used this comparison before in the yin-yang, black and white circle from Taoism that frequently gets associated with acupuncture as well as the martial arts. And the feminine consciousness, you know, collective, cooperative, communicative, and the element of competition of the old paradigm of the Darwinian fittest of only the survival of the fittest. And so that breeds competition and discarding less useful and going for more useful. All of that's on its way out. What's also happening that's interesting, and this is the crux of my entire message, from living in Asia for 10 years and going to Asia as an energy healer already and as somebody who had already been meditating for a decade, going there to help impact the power of my energy healing and the power of me. So studying subtle consciousness, studying the subtle energies that America in the West is not anymore, and maybe anciently, but not anymore, specialists in. We're specialists in production and creating, manifesting physically tangible realities, and we're really, really good at that, you know, making things happen. And so directly before this show, I've been involved in a launch of a new program that's starting on Monday. There's a free column during Monday night with free clearings from Access Consciousness, with free theta healings, clearing of the subconscious blocks, clearing of the unconscious energy with the Access Consciousness clearings, and then a transmission or two or 10 during the call focused on how do we use the energies of today. Because not only have we moved to our benefit, not only have we moved to our era of feminine consciousness, but we've moved into the era of spiritual awakening. And I am seeing, and I've said this recently on another show, the energy healings, even when I am focusing my thoughts on something, not my thoughts, like my mental mind, my cognitive mind, not my everyday mind, not that part that plans and structures and schedules, but the part of me that dreams and envisions and imagines and feels and intuits, when I focus that part of me on a creation, when I want to birth something, a product, a service, a new leg to my business, a new relationship, anything, it's happening quicker. In my energy healing sessions, the results are much fuller and much quicker. And so there's an energy in the times that we're living in right now that are, because we moved into the era of spiritual awakening, there's a higher, higher, higher fueling behind all of our consciousness. So what does that mean? It means that if we are not working with our cognitive minds, then we're going into OCD, we're going into bipolar, we're going into manic behavior, possibly. We're going into ADD, ADHD. There's a lot of hyperness because there's such high energy. The Mayans, when I was at the Mayan ruins on December 21st, and I had gone on with Susan Shumsky and was the yoga teacher on the cruise, and we, an energy healer on the cruise, and we got a special ceremony that I've talked about a couple of times with the Mayan shaman at the pyramids. We got in and were able to get closer and do things that is not usually allowed. My feet, my bare feet, were pulsating because of the charge off the land. The year before, when I had been there in August, my bare feet did not grab this pulsing sensation off of the earth. So it was a live energy there. And what the Mayan shaman said was the pyramids that the Mayans built centuries and centuries and centuries, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, was based on the calendar discovery. And we were standing at Chichen Itza, the pyramid that you most frequently associate with the Mayan ruins, across from the stadium where they drew up the Mayan calendar. He was saying that the Mayan pyramids were built in order to harness what, when they drew up the Mayan calendar, they predicted the December 21st, 2012 timing was going to be bringing in at a whole new level energies. So they had to, they chose to construct these pyramids pointed towards the sky where the galactic energies are coming in from other planets and stars and whatever is happening out there, to be able to help the earth harness the energy. So we know the triangle, we know the pyramid, it's a power structure, right? And the power is pointed up. So if you think about that, that means that, man, what were they aware of? I mean, really, if they built all of these pyramids throughout the Mayan Empire, and they were not the only ancient culture that built pyramids, and they were not the only ancient culture that predicted the December 21st, 2012 significance. So if you really take time, a moment, to consider what that implies, and then you look at our world today, and I don't mean look at the negative. I mean look at the amounts of, and there's the element too of what's been happening in our medical community with the pharmaceutical industry and the diagnoses and all of how that's been increasing over the last couple of, over the last decade in particular. There's more diagnoses happening. But if you even look at yourself, if you're not on any kind of medication, and you look at how you can go high and low, that's the nature of what we have available to us. So what's another way of saying it? Gary Douglas from Access Consciousness, the founder of Access Consciousness, I'm a Baris facilitator, as most of you know, with Access Consciousness. So it's one of the energy medicine modalities I use, or one of the consciousness raising systems that I use. It's in such flux right now that I don't even know how to term it. It's not healing. It's working with energy, which is consciousness. So, I mean, I don't even know how to term it other than working with consciousness. He said what we're in right now is, I mean, you can go back and listen to this radio show interview with him from last year too if you wanted, change or die. And so it feels like, and I said this before on a radio show, I remember coming out of one energy healing session or one energy medicine session or one consciousness clearing session, and I don't even remember right now what the issue was that the person was coming to me for, but I remember stepping out and, as I do, to ground after each session and writing the client's file, realizing, having this like awareness just flood my entire field of why would, and so I just come from interacting with this person's core consciousness and being and their physical body. right? And I had gone into dealing with whatever that presented, and which most likely meant dealing with some past life issues, which means I'm dealing with the person at their root level or at their eternal level. And I was outside and I had this awareness wash over me, like, why would we only deal with the physical when that's not what's eternal? Why would a system like Western medicine only deal with the physical level when there is so much more resplendence and power and importance to that which is eternal that fuels the body? So my 10 years in Asia and my work since I started writing my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, all of it is, the 10 years in Asia helped me understand subtle energies at a level that you could only experience if you were there and you were exploring it. Because there were other foreigners next to me who were not at all exploring subtle energy. So, I mean, I went there with the intention I already mentioned. And so it permeated every element of their society. And I explore that in the book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? And I use mostly the Chinese and Indian societies because those were the two I was the most familiar with. Thai too, but not quite as familiar. I was living with the Chinese every day to day. And then I'm a yoga teacher and a meditator and got certified in India. So familiarity with that culture too. And their Ayurvedic medical system, as well as the traditional Chinese medical system that includes acupuncture, medical Qigong. And I'm a Qigong practitioner. So those are the two systems that I'm the most familiar with subtle energy. And that includes the chakra system. So I come back to America, and I rewrote the book in my first year back here, making it even more understandable for the everyday American as I got more grounded here and remembered what it was like somewhat to have a Western set mind only. So I rewrote it for the average Western mind. And what a lot of readers are telling me is I couldn't put it down. You made me late. And right on, Allison, that is how it is. And it's not an easy, light read. It's not bedtime reading, and if it is, it's only a couple of pages at a time because it presents such a different system. And what that is it's beyond our everyday mind that we're busy making stuff happen and beyond our body to the land where we're kind of shy about here in America, which is the subtle energies, which is the invisible, which is not looking at the invisible. We've turned our head in Western society from the invisible, from the subtle energies, and it could, because it was labeled as the hard problem in science, in our scientific tradition. They did not find it easily measurable, and so they turned away from it. And then there was superstitiousness and power struggles between the church and science as they split back in the age of enlightenment. And that's all in my book, too. So I trace in the book why are we more focused on the physical in America when their power really is in the subtle energies, which I learned from living in Asia experientially firsthand. So the era we're in now is shifting into the era of consciousness, of working with consciousness. The Mayans knew this from apparently structuring pyramids to be able to harness these high vibrations. And so vibrations are what? They're just frequencies, right? So you know what frequencies are because you're used to a radio. And so you know what you feel like when you're happy and then when you're angry and then when you're depressed. Each of those are a different high or meh. That's a frequency. Like not happy, upset. Depressed. Let me make a sound that emanates or is emblematic of the frequency of happy. You know, so those are all different frequencies. And so they understood, the Mayans, when they built the pyramids, that there were going to be these high, high frequencies. So if we're really high, 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 then that's cool. But if we're not living on a day-to-day basis with our mind functioning in a place that typically is at that high, happy, joyous level, and our, therefore, mind... biochemistry created from our most frequently repeated thoughts isn't creating a body that has cells in it that are humming at that high, happy energy, then those high, high energies are going to be pulling towards it anything and everything that's the lower stuff. So the lower stuff, the heavier stuff, the depressed stuff, the angry stuff, the dark stuff, the dense stuff, the evil stuff that we used to label as evil, all of that gets pulled more to the surface too. To get cleaned. So we can't, it's not already vibrating at that level. So it's coming up to the surface, right? So one of the questions that in the field I work in, from the holistic approach of the mind, body, and spirit, all being one functioning unit, is when somebody comes with cancer, and you guys have heard me say this on the show before, what is it that you're dying to get out of, as if it's propelled from the deeper unconscious beliefs. And so we would work with that, those beliefs. And a lot of the times it's dying to get out of a long-term marriage, or dying to get out of what they think is a trapped situation where they don't have the flexibility or the agility enough yet in their mind to say, oh, I have a choice. I could actually leave this job and go to another job. One of the aspects of this times I am really, really seeing is just how powerful of creators we are. I mean, I am seeing my ability to create from my thoughts when if I'm not in alignment, and I frequently don't let my thoughts go there anymore. It's not where I live and haven't for years. But if I have like a client like worried about something and focused on something, what then gets created is a situation matching that vibration. So there's that magnetic attraction from our individualized, localized field to the greater field that I've talked a lot about. You can go back to the show of Beyond the Law of Attraction, because I really talk about the science and the dynamics behind how we create our realities with our thoughts. It's all science at this point. The new sciences have worked with it, but it's based on ancient understandings, and it really is logical to understand. I mean, there's a way to understand it, and it's beyond the law of attraction. It's not that simplistic. So when we are not focused on worries and we are instead totally focused on, I'm going to have that. I like how happy that couple looks, and I want that in my life too. So I desire that. So we start, in, for example, with Access Consciousness, asking questions like, what would it take for me to have a love like that in my life? And then we'll come in with a clearing statement. So in Theta Healing, what we'll do is we'll realize, I'll look and see in somebody's field that maybe they have a trauma that they've experienced with a past love that blocks them from believing in their worthiness or their deservingness or that they're lovable. And so they'll have some deeper rooted subconscious block, deeper than what Access Consciousness gets to frequently, it feels like, in the way that I use the two together, that Theta Healing can then reprogram at the subconscious level and give the person the ability to think differently, because that trauma is cleared and that thought is reprogrammed. So, because theta means at the theta brainwave state, the mind, the subconscious is more exposed. It's what we're in every night in REM sleep is the subconscious. So it's a programmable brain state. It's not as open to suggestion when we're at the beta brainwave state, for example, that we operate in every day-to-day life, which you approach listening to the show, and you've probably already started to ease into alpha just from listening to me and taking in my vibration and frequency. So from all the work I do, I frequently am in a theta, if not alpha, brainwave state throughout the day, all day, every day, between sessions and everything. So the work I do on myself. So what that means, bringing everything I've already said together, is that if we're not actively, it seems like, working with ourselves to really weed out what is no longer really true for us, like, well, am I deserving of a pardon? Am I undeserving of a love like that? Why would I be? I'm another child on this planet, another child in this universe, another child of God, if that's how you want to put it. What makes me any more undeserving than somebody else? So then we would clear out the unconscious and subconscious beliefs that are in the way, so that then our energy emanating from our beliefs and thoughts, because that's our energy, our frequencies come out from our beliefs and thoughts and emotions, are no longer holding I'm not at the subconscious level, I'm undeserving of a love, but instead we believe we deserve it and everything's been cleared, then our magnetic attraction to bring to us would match this new level of yes. So it's almost like our warts right now on the planet are being shown more in this higher vibration. And that's why it feels to me like Gary Douglas would say, right now it's the time of change or die. Another thing I've heard of, and I watched my mom die. She did change somewhat, for sure. It seems like we can no longer get by with living at a physical level only. It's not the time anymore. We have to look, and I totally trust my whole life path, like where I am when I'm there, that I'm being put there for, as I've seen, for a much higher purpose. And I mean, all of us, but there's something a little bit different about me. And I think those of you who know me know what I'm talking about. So that book that got written, What If There's Nothing Wrong? At some point I was writing my dissertation and it was what this book originally was. And at some point it was becoming much bigger as I was writing in the tea houses in Taiwan. And I was at night after work, the dissertation, at one point I stopped and I'm like, what, why is this getting so big? I mean, this, oh, okay, I'm writing a book. So I basically brought together everything that I had experienced. And so an embodiment of a contrast to not being fully American anymore, but being like a half and half. And I still feel like that, like a half Asian, half American. And I went over there already aware that I wanted to live in a place that acknowledged energy more. Not that I felt like rejected from my home society or there were any issues like that. I just wanted to know from interest, okay, I understand energy is very important and consciousness is the crux of what everything stems from. Who knows about it? Okay, let me go there. So when this became a book, it was around the time that Carolyn Mace was writing Defy Gravity. Carolyn Mace has been one of my teachers, helping me to understand how to interpret symbolically my own intuition, and one of my first teachers in many, many ways, about energy medicine and intuitive energy medicine and learning how to use my intuition. And so she was writing Defy Gravity at the same time, and it's along the same lines as my book. I also looked at Erwin Laszlo's book about consciousness, Macro Shift, and I quoted it a lot in my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? And he was saying something along the lines I was saying. It's not the same in framing as what I was saying, but in the collective unconsciousness, as Carl Jung, the psychoanalyst, Freud student, and now remembering my first degree, first major in college was in psychology, and I left it because I saw how it was incomplete. It was focused too much on the cognitive brain, physical processes, and not enough on the more mysterious aspects of being human. It didn't bring in the qualities of the spirit. So I left that major, and ever since then have been looking for a complete understanding of how to approach, I guess, healthy human happiness. And I just had a client 2 weeks ago actually say to me, you know, Allison, I've been to a therapist and that was good. It was helpful. I've done martial arts and that was good and it's helpful, learning about chi and my power, but you have it all. And so I was really grateful to hear that because that's what I've been looking to create. So in the psychology major, when I was learning about Carl Jung, and he's the one teaching that I really held on to from that 3 semesters I spent as a psych student and then teaching psych later, AP psych to high school students, because he actually was influenced by Eastern thought, Eastern mystical thought from the Tao Te Ching, the ancient Taoist philosophies and tenets. And he coined a phrase called the collective consciousness. And it's, so if Einstein pulled in E equals MC squared when he did, and we give him credit for the E equals MC squared, going on the theory of collective consciousness, that's out there in the collective consciousness. Some call it the collective unconscious. And Einstein had the correct discipline in himself. He had, believe it or not, even though he was a high school dropout, right? He had the correct life setting and context and time and whatever situations that needed to come together, synchronicities, to make it happen and available for him. He pulled it out of the collective that was already ready to be birthed onto our planet. So I feel like the message that myself and others are also circling around this time is that we are in the midst of a major shift. And it's from the age of more physically tangible, linear, concrete, sequential life into a more multidimensional consciousness-geared life. And so when I look at people who are scratching their arms and looking at a rash and they're going to go to the doctor about it, or I'm having clients call me and say, I've been to the doctors, they can't come up with what this is, they can't diagnose this. It happens a lot. And I've talked about this on the show once or twice, not a lot, but these are symptoms that are coming up from consciousness. They're different. They're not our tools to measure and image and diagnose are much more physically crude, and the times that we've moved into are much more subtly based. They're not so physically tangible. In Tibetan Buddhism, they call it gross consciousness at this physical level. Not that it's ugly or yucky, but just gross, meaning physically unwieldy. That's why I use the word crude at first. And then there's a whole spectrum from gross consciousness to subtle consciousness. And subtle consciousness is when we're sitting in meditation and we're returning ourselves back to our breath and we're observing our thoughts. That's getting to the realms of subtle consciousness. So it seems like we are being steered towards, we must be paying attention to our thoughts more. We must be paying attention to our consciousness more. And again, if you look around at the increased interest in meditation and the increased interest in psychicness even, in using the intuition and yoga, these are all entry points into natural healing and in energy healing and in consciousness work. And in spiritual awakening, these are all in our feelings and in feeling good and in no longer, you know, choosing to have things serious or heavy, and refining your meaning in life or your juice in life. All of these examples are symptomatic of the overall backdrop of the energy of the times we've just moved into. And so another aspect of this, and I am starting this telecall on Monday night to really move forward with helping those of you who are called to join it, because I asked, I could feel a need coming to me from my community, and it felt like a service that I could provide. And so what I did was I asked, what is this? And I eventually came up with, it's around the lines of what I'm talking about, where it's helping people move out of these old framings our minds have made that we've been trained to with our old societal paradigms, and really clearing the way in a more fine-tuned way, not in a such a huge, dramatic way, but like, where do we have a belief that tells us, for example, that when I go through my transformation, I'm going to look like a superhero? And so anytime along the path of transformation, if we don't have our life dramatically changed to that superhero level where we're in a different job, where we're earning money we're creating money based on what we want to be creating in the world for ourselves and others, where we're in love, where we're healthy, where we're vibrant in our bodies and prosperous and happy. And so if all of that hasn't shown up, then our minds will say, you failed. Or this isn't working, or you're never going to get there, or that's just a dream. And that happens a lot. And from the backlash I heard, because I was living in Asia when The Secret came out, and one summer when I came back here, I got it and brought it back and showed it to my students, because Emerson was quoted in there, and we would do transcendentalists in our American literature study, and so I would bring that in. Thoreau was quoted in there, too. There are two of the people who were considered to know about The Secret. So the idea that, just totally had my train of thought go, our beliefs of how we expect it to look, we're not just geared anymore to the physical proof. So when The Secret came out, it seemed like a lot of people were disappointed after doing a little bit of work with the Law of Attraction. It hasn't shown up yet. In an understanding that we work much quicker in the realm of consciousness, that like quantum physics shows that the jumps and leaps that particles and subparticles like quarks make, they're spontaneous and they're huge bursts. They're not this gradual, slow, incremental, step-by-step, concrete, sequential, linear growth, that pace that we're used to. And so there's a sense of quickness that's more in our lives now, but it's not that we're necessarily moving quicker, but there's this feeling or a sense or backdrop of things being quicker because we're connected to that energy. I mean, yoga means to yoke with the divine within us, this spark, this element that is part of the all, that we all are. And so that's how we'd be in tune with these other sensations. And that also is where we connect in with that collective unconscious idea as we get a crossover now between different traditions. And so when we're working with consciousness, it's quicker. If you think of the examples you've heard of when somebody travels in space and they have a twin on the Earth and they don't age when they're up in space and they return to their twin who has aged, because in space, time doesn't matter. And in the multidimensional world, not the 3D world, the physical world we live and exist in, and you're listening to this radio show in, but in the multidimensional, non-3D world, it's all much quicker activity. And then we've also had quantum physics come out and talk about the huge leaps. You guys have probably heard quantum jump, quantum leap phrased out there. So it's much more spontaneous. There's much more bursting happening, and there's much more big blasts happening. So if you think about that being the backdrop to the energy we're in now, that also means that we can go quicker in our creation. But when it comes down to the physical, especially when we're still not all of us on this awakened path working with consciousness, or living an awakened life working with consciousness and aware of how our vibration, meaning the collection of our thoughts, feelings, not feelings, but our thoughts, emotions, beliefs, congeal into being an energy that congeal into being a frequency. So those of us who aren't working with it, who are still very much in the physical, tangible world, and let's say, for example, not paying attention to the food they're taking into their body, or not in its own energy and what that ends up being in our body, and not paying attention to what we're watching on TV and what we're taking into our consciousness that way, or on the internet, or on YouTube, or on Netflix, or listening to blah, 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 right? So there's people who are more aware nowadays than ever before of the influences on our consciousness and are living an awakened life, but then we're still in the major backdrop of a society where it's not, people aren't living an awakened, their consciousness isn't awakened necessarily to all of this multidimensional sensory data. And so we are still living in a backdrop based on the old paradigm. And I talk about this in my book. And so that means then therefore, also combined with simply the physical is slower. It moves at a slower rate. It has to, so we can manage being in these more dense, physical, slower bodies, whereas consciousness, unembodied energy, can move quicker. So when we're working in consciousness and we're asking questions and we're guiding ourselves towards creating from ideas and visualizations and imagination, and we're asking questions around, like, what is it that we wish to create? And so what else can we add in to make it even better? And we're just really living in the life of this new birth, of this new project, or this new life, or whatever. To have it show up in the physical, typically the physical has to catch up to the where we already are in consciousness. So when I've been working with a brain tumor, for example, or a cancerous tumor, for example, or a breast lump, for example, or a colon that's all disrupted with IBS, or acid reflux, or Crohn's disease, or toes that are malformed and went through surgery, the physical takes a while to catch up to the speed of where we already are in consciousness. So that means that we go in with our spoiled mind's perceptions that we can have whatever we want, because that's the demands of an ego mind, especially with the backdrop of American consumer society, where we expect what we want and we expect it to get delivered in the way that we desire it. And that shapes our ego mind and its demandingness. So we could be so close to having something come to birth and we think it hasn't happened yet, so it's not going to happen. And it's simply because if you just look at the science of what I just said, it's slower on the physical plane. So to carve those pathways repeatedly, to make it into a habit of an energy pattern that then births the actual physical, tangible result in creation, it takes a little bit longer, depending on the thing that you're creating. Now, people on the other end of the spectrum who are, like myself, already have been working with consciousness for years, I am noticing how quickly I am taking an energy, an awareness that I have, and I'm saying, ooh, that wants to be created, and okay, so what's required to create it? bringing the pieces together, asking, okay, what else is required to create it? And going out and making that phone call and bringing that person on the team and going out and asking more questions. Okay, so how do we make it even better? And then bringing in that other element. So it's a combination of it, of action and receiving guidance from my intuition and in the larger field so that I'm not just closed in by my small cognitive brain that can only see right in front of me, but I'm asking for help from an all-knowing source. I'm not saying I'm asking God necessarily, but I'm not saying I'm not asking that. I'm working with a field, it feels like, that is all-knowing in a way that knows more than me, has more at its access than just me, and can bring in people and can bring in resources and can bring in events and synchronicities or coincidences that seem really magical in their alignment and in their timing. So we tend to call them synchronicities, and then I can birth something with more ease. There's less force, there's less figuring stuff out, there's less making stuff happen, which is all mind energy. So there's a lot to be said. That's why you're hearing me a little bit breathless. I'm really, really, really excited about this new telecall series. So if again, the free call is Monday night, and you can check out my website, allisonjk.com. There's links. I think there's a banner by now up above my head picture on this radio show page that you can see about the telecall series. Because there's, and the title is saying no to less and yes to more. Because there is so much available. I feel like there is like this, you know, like a water slide that's like four people wide, and they can all start at the same time. I feel like there's this like huge backdrop of support behind our backs, behind our heads, just waiting to pour, that is already directed towards us, but it's almost like we have to activate it. And it's not even necessarily outside of us. I don't mean to imply that it's an outside source stronger than us, bigger than us, more empowered than us, and we're not powerful. But it's actually us learning how to work with our own bigness and our own potency. So when we're on right now, nowadays, it seems just like so much quicker for us to be able to create what it is that we want. And it gets so much bigger. If we allow it to, it becomes something so much more beautiful, because the nature of the times right now seem to have like this diamond shimmery, and you can see the diamonds and the shimmeriness in the banner up there for the telecall series. And I talk about that in, if you click on it, you'll see what comes up. So I had a client last week, and he's not the first, say, I feel like I'm seeing everything with diamond shimmery eyes. There is this magic that is always, that has always been the backdrop from my own knowing. I mean, I don't know this for sure, but it feels like I know it, that there has always been this massive backdrop to life of shimmery butterflies, diamonds, glitter, happy, joy, joy. Now you could say she's whacked, or you could say, yeah, I feel the same way. And if one of my favorite quotes from Einstein is, the most important choice a human being can make is whether they view the universe as hostile or friendly. So if our perceptions frame the way we see the world, and everything we think and believe is based on the way we see the world and then how we go forth in the world, why not have a framing that allows us to reach our hand out and step out and have the kind of support that feels like, to me, is just waiting to be there? Because we're not born angry. We're not born, if you look at the collective, if you look at over time, the majority are not born dysfunctional. Even though we could be convinced of that, we're looking at the ads for all the pharmaceutical medications and diagnoses that are out there nowadays of how bad our world is. Realistically, the news has to be put on the negative. Why? Because it catches our attention. Because, you know, what's normal is the positive, is the happiness, is the love, is the basic goodness in all humans. And we get shocked and horrified by the badness, because that's not our natural default. So there is like this huge increase of energy right now that it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere, but it's just going to build. And that's the era we're moving into, that if we activate ourselves and we say yes to, okay, enough suffering. I mean, if you need suffering to get yourself to that point of contrast where the zit finally has enough pus in it that you can pop it, so you're at the peak. If you're at the peak of your struggling and you're ready, that contrast has been proven strong enough to choose something different, or if you just simply know what I'm saying, sense the energy in your life that's that I'm describing, you know now is the time, and you just reach for it, there is so much more support for us to create what it is that we're desiring. And there's also so much more support for us to create, period. So if we're still struggling with ourselves, and or we're still focusing on what we don't have or what isn't good enough, then we're going to get more of that more than ever before, because it seems like anything, so the field feels like extra sensitive. Somebody said that it's like the energy on the planet right now with this awakening shift in December 21st, the galactic alignment, it's like we're now in a super sensitive environment, as if everybody on the planet had been meditating, because the vibration is that high and that light, but not everybody is meditating. So I think it's almost like there's toxins that are coming to the surface, and it's time to clean those. And then it's also, if you've already cleaned, oh my God, look at how much more available everything is at your fingertips with that clear connection to source power. So there's another aspect that comes up here that I've been learning about increasingly too, partially from living in Asia with the Chinese and understanding how much more they're tuned into the subtle energies. And that is like this clearing of our field, like this field management. Like, so if you're new to any of this, the rest of what I'm talking about might catalyze a huge opening in you. And for those of you who've already been on the path for a while, this is going to be possibly, there was new information for me. It was exciting. Okay, so let me do it this way. In many ancient geared societies, they say nowadays that a very high percentage, I want to say like in the 80s, of all depression actually comes from entity disturbances. And what are entities but disembodied spirits who aren't in body? And so why would they be around? Well, what is said is that they're hanging around for some reason. I've had way back in the beginning of my show too, had Raymond Moody on the show, who is the man who coined NDE for near-death experience. And apparently there is a bestseller on the New York Times right now about what it's like to have an NDE, written from a neurosurgeon. My father was actually talking about that. And then I also had on a Navy, I want to say she was a colonel in the Navy, or the Marines, who was really high up there in the administration. And she then had a sudden death of someone very dear to her in her life, and she wanted to have communication with this person, and it led to a trail of her becoming a medium. That's Suzanne Geisman, and she's also another show way back when, if you want to look at this. So one of the things I say in my book, I found it fascinating when I was doing the research for it, is that our living rooms used to be named, or were named living rooms, because they used to be used for the funerals. When there were no formal funeral homes, there was no funeral industry, the people used to have the dead body in a casket in the room in the house, and that was the main room. And it eventually came to be called living room, so they could take away the death room that it had been used for. Interestingly, though, another aspect of this is that up until recent modern era, we in postmodern era, we in America and in the West overall have been much more close to death. We have not put it away to the nursing homes and put it away to the funeral industry, but we have been, like, the average woman was expected to, what, of five kids, lose two of them. So death was a common thing. So you know when someone you love dies, how that naturally propels you to want to stay connected with them. And so you reach out and you start to wonder, is there life after death? And is there angel? Are there angels? And all of that questioning that begins when you lose somebody really dear to you to death. So if we were living in a society where that was pretty constant, the awareness of all the death, which would also mean the awareness of life and possibly its tenuousness, as opposed to where we are now, then we might have more of an ease with connection to unembodied spirits. So part of what it seems like I've been having a learning curve with the last couple of years is we have indeed moved into the age or the era of consciousness. And so what does that mean? I don't know. We're learning. And what that means is partially, it seems like, managing our fields. So there's a bunch of different schools of thought on how many actual fields we have, invisible bodies around our physical body. The Indians have the most, from my research. There's like 8 or 12, depending on what system you look at. But managing our field means our electromagnetic field, everything that is comprised of our localized consciousness, our own field, before we then reach out and interact with the larger field or the collective field. Then there is matrix energetics, which I'm not well steeped in, but they deal with different morphic fields. So when working with a local practitioner of matrix energetics, for example, he was talking about, okay, let me bring in that morphic field for this thing that we're talking about you creating in your life. So that's based on Rupert. I review Rupert Sheldrake's work in my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, from the UK, where he coined the phrase morphic field, studying how different fields exist. And so we are this localized field, and we're comprised of our own chakra system that runs the subtle energy up and down our physical body and our metaphysical body, closer to our physical body. But then there's like round, I want to say eggshell kind of, you could call them containers, but we're not that closed in. We're much more permeable, like a sponge in and out. So there's these like egg-like shaped invisible bodies that reach out beyond our body. So there's one stacked, and then there's the next one out, like about 2 feet from our field and our body physically. And then there's another one 3 feet, and then there's another one 4 feet, et cetera. And so when we're doing Qigong, we're learning to work with those different aspects of our field, and then reaching out to the greater field of where all animate life has this high chi. So like we're gathering more chi to build up the vitality and stamina in our own system, using the subtle energy from all alive life, like the trees and the earth, et cetera. So there's this awareness of something could, that we are responsible now in our growing awareness of beyond the physical. As we move into this multidimensional age, there's this growing awareness and acceptance of the need to like take a broom almost and sweep your field clean every day. Some people talk about zipping up the chakras. Some people talk about visualizing yourself enclosed in a white egg. I'm not even necessarily talking about that. It feels like it's something newer than that. It feels like it's every day, like waking up and throughout the day, many times during the day. Yeah, actually doing it that many times, not just like one time a day. It's different because energy and consciousness changes so frequently. You could walk into a store and you could come into contact with somebody who had just gotten raped. And we are much more porous and psychic than we give ourselves credit for. In fact, Access says we're 98% psychic. And so you could pick up on her terror. I'm assuming it's a her, you could pick up on the terror in that person's field and you could absorb it. And then you could go away from that store having your bag in hand with your stuff that you go home with, and you could feel really drained and tired all of a sudden. And that's from interacting with somebody and picking up what they had on in their field, because you could picture she'd be like an open wound from the trauma of it. So she'd be what you could call leaking it. And so you aware... I mean, anybody could pick up on the terror and walk around and it just gets absorbed into them. But us who are already awake and listening to shows like this would be more aware of it. And if not more aware of it, would be more aware of our own energy levels and our own feelings and thoughts. And all of a sudden we'd be like, oh, wow, whoo, I'm tired. So whoop, clear the field. Anything and everything that I just picked up, I ask you to please leave. My field is mine. I am self-contained. I ask my angels to escort anything and everything away from here. There's not the love and light. Return to the plane you come from. There's all these different commands that can be made that you can hear from different traditions. I clear my field. And you could just picture like a massive vacuum or a massive broom, whatever works for you. And I have found in my many years now of working with people about this topic that can be really sensitive for people. Oh, wait, there's demons out there. I don't want to know about demons. There's evil out there. I don't want to know about evil. It seems like everybody, this area is more sensitive to personal interpretation. Like what works for each person is what works for each person. And there's a whole host of ways to go about dealing with, keeping your field clean, going against invasion. I don't want to necessarily use the word protection, because then that sets up duality. And that's where we're going to, but we're going beyond the age of duality. We're moving beyond where I can't contain, I have to fight against.
So if you think about the idea of if there's demonic spirits out there, if there's evil out there, I have to be afraid of them. I need to go to church, or I need to fight against them and push them out. But what if instead of resisting and reacting against something like that, we just understand that with our own choice, we can help it get to where it needs to go. We can help it get clear. We can help it, this uninvited spirit, because maybe it's somebody. So an example I heard, and this is stuff that's really cutting edge, and I know that I'm pushing buttons for some of you. I know that this is hard for some people. It's not comfortable at first when you first brings up a lot of collective stuff, particularly in the West. What was I just talking about? There was a story of a woman that I was going to bring in, and I'll just let it go because it isn't staying with me right now. So here's another example. When actually writing that book, what was to become the book, I would be doing it at the tea house. So I'd go there and I'd grade papers and do the work I had to do as a teacher, my full-time profession at that international school I was at. And then I'd move into the PhD, whether I was doing the classwork or writing the PhD dissertation or eventually actually writing that book. I travel about 3 miles from where I live down this road through a botanical gardens in a park that I used to go run at a lot. And it's also right by a graveyard. And sorry, folks, we had a little technical difficulty. I got dropped off for Skype. So she was, that's interesting that this is when my calls don't usually drop either. It's always interesting timing when they do. It hits a lot of energy. So she was saying that don't travel on that road by the graveyard because most of the activity is from 2 to 6 a.m. And so what if now was the time to really start clearing our planet? What if now was the time to really correspond to those high, high, high vibrations that are coming to us from the galactic alignment and more that we don't even know, like all of the increased solar flares? What kind of energy is that releasing? You know, I mean, if they're building pyramids on our planet to harness the high, high, high vibration, what is that saying about this vibration? If we are seeing people respond the way that we're seeing people respond, looking for more, hungering for more, wanting more spiritual connection, wanting more meaning in their lives, what is that saying about what's been going on physically in, let's say, in the United States, for example? And so really looking at the times as, and what the most frequent reactions are as symptoms, and adding it all this information up together as if a detective, you know? I mean, what is it about the yes energy that makes us feel so good? Is it because we're honoring the actual innate energy of our souls and the innate energy of the time, which is to expand? And so when do you get depressed? When do you get heavy? When do you get weighed down? Is it because you start to feel like negative or dark? Well, maybe now is the time more than ever before in the history of humankind that we deal with our collective darkness. I don't know. But if we look at the information of the 2 years leading up to the December 21st alignment, my work with my clients had never had me clearing past life issues the way that I was for the 2 years leading up to there. What does that say? Again and again and again, I was clearing people's karma and clearing the density of past life experiences that had them suffering or heaviness or dark experiences. And we're not living in the same times right now. Like, people aren't walking around chopping off each other's heads or, you know, putting samurai swords in each other's guts. You know, it's not, you know, the war field and castles and Sir Gawain and, you know, it's just not that time anymore. We're in a different time. The postmodern era, where there's a certain level of convenience, right? And the technology lets us do what it lets us do. And it, in fact, mirrors us. So we're really in a new time. And the more we pay attention to that and we allow ourselves to awaken to that, it feels like the more we're honoring our natural alignment with the times that we're in right now and the energy as the backdrop of our existence right now. So if you feel off, maybe it's because you are off with what you're doing, and maybe that's okay. And so what is this trying to tell you, what you could be paying more attention to? Let it inform you and let it lead you to actually where it is that your soul knows to go, and trust yourself. Go beyond the mind, because it's not going to come from the mind. The mind just helps us figure out what we are, the known. It doesn't help us go into the unknown, and we are totally going into the unknown now. It really feels like that. It doesn't feel like this is a repeat of another era. It feels like there's all this different stuff from other eras that is getting cleared, and some of what we're learning and relearning now is based on some of the more ancient teachings that are at the more base level of what it means to be a spirit in a body. But it feels like we're forming something new now. It really does. And it's so, if that is so, then how do we do it? So we just keep asking questions. And if that is so, then doesn't that also mean that in this loving universe that we live in, that we would be given the support to move into new times? Because it's there. You can heal anything if the person's willing to heal it. You can just choose differently. And you can have the support from people like me and the energy all around us. I mean, if we were meant to suffer and we were meant to be dirty, we'd be born that way. But we're not. We can always clean and heal and clear stuff and reach for more light and reach for more expansion and honor the energy of life at its core level. So that's what it feels like to me has been percolating around in my awareness as I was speaking last week on the radio show. There's some new stuff that's getting, I'm going to just use my own lingo, dumped into my field in the last couple of weeks. There's new information that I haven't yet been able to cognitively understand and put words around, and that's what it feels like this new teleseries is about. It feels like it's going to be a channeling and a massive download of some new potential and new energy in that potential, and there's going to be loads of activations, loads of attunements, and loads of clearings to help us hold our ground and help us understand the mechanism and habitual mechanism of self-sabotage that can come up from the mind that I walk my clients through when we're going for more expansion and we're going for honoring our yes and we're going into the unknown. You know, I mean, there's just no reason not to say yes. And anything and everything that doesn't allow for that, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Times a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, pockpod, online, shorts, boys and beyonds. That's the Access Consciousness clearing statement. If you want more information, you can go to accessconsciousness.com or drdanehere.com. So I thank you for listening today. And if you are interested in the telecall series, the free call is Monday night. If you want more information, go to the banner above or go to my website, allisonjk.com. And thanks for listening and thanks for being you, because it led you to this radio show and to this energy. Thanks for holding the space you do on this planet. Much love, many blessings, and have the best weekend ever!
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.allisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.